In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good morning, and it's good to be with you this morning. Some of you know that I grew up on a farm. So when Jesus uses a parable like he did this morning that has anything to do with seeds and crops and livestock, it brings back these wonderful memories from my childhood. Each spring when we planted crops, we'd wait to see if the seeds would germinate. And this would be the first signs of whether or not we were going to have a good crop or not. Things like rainfall and soil type influences greatly. I can still remember going out with my dad early in the morning, sometimes on horseback, sometimes in a pickup truck, to see if the seeds had germinated and how well they had germinated, because this was the beginning of a new crop year. So when I hear Jesus describe what happens to seed that is sown in different soil types, like rocky ground or good soil or bad soil, I can relate to this. It makes perfectly good sense. It was only after I got to college, and even more so today, that I realized that most people don't know where their food comes from. They can't relate to seeds being planted in different soil types and with and without rainfall and moisture, and how all of this stuff makes a difference. We know that Jesus was speaking to a rural community at the time. Unlike anything that we're familiar with today, but everybody there should have understood and been able to relate to this mental picture. Today, however, that's not the case. Most people can't make that connection between seeds being sown in different types of soil and the kingdom of God. Yet this is how Jesus taught. And we can see that it wasn't always understood, because Jesus had to provide an explanation, even to his disciples, separate from the crowds. In this case, Jesus said, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. Jesus is first telling us that understanding and experiencing God's love begins in the heart, not in the mind, in the heart. Jesus is also telling us that we do not always hear or understand God's word in the same way. Each of us in this room will hear God's word differently because we have experienced the world differently, and God created us as different human beings. And some things we will never fully understand. And for this, we must trust God enough to accept some things on faith. In the parable, the people on the path cannot hear the word of God in a way that allows them to understand and experience God and God's love. There are too many distractions in the world that are more appealing to their selfishness and their ego. As for what was sown on rocky ground, these are the people who hear the word and immediately receive it with great joy. Yet, such a person has only a shallow root system. In other words, not a real good foundation, and endures only for a short period. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. Now, Jesus knew that his disciples and his followers were going to be tested, and some would fall into this camp. So the parable was not only a teaching, but a warning to some of his followers. We probably know some people like this. Their faith comes and goes with time and what is popular at the time. We may have experienced this ourselves on our journey through life. I can think back to times in my life where I can relate to this. As for what was sown among thorns, these people hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields little, if anything. It's like planting a crop in the middle of weeds. You might get a little something, but you're not going to get a great crop out of it. This example hits home for many of us, because in reality, it's difficult to put God ahead of our own well-being and the well-being of our family all the time. We try hard to have the only to have the evil one, attempt to snatch away our understanding, our faith, and our love for others. But as for what was sown on good soil, the people hear the word and understand it. They bear fruit and yield, sometimes 100, sometimes 60, sometimes 30, according to the parable. These are the people that become the disciples and the sowers of seeds. These are the people that help carry the good news of Christ out to the world. Now, if you are like me, you might be asking yourself, what soil type am I in? Am I on the path? Am I in rocky soil? Am I in the thorns, or am I in good soil? It's a legitimate question. However, this parable is not about you as a believer. It's about you as a sower of seeds. And therefore, we have to look at it a little differently. As sowers of the word of God, we're called to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, to everyone, not a select few that look and sound and believe as we do. We are to take the word out to the world. Yes, even to those that are on the path and that are on rocky soil and that are in the weeds, in the thorns. Yogi Berra, one of my favorite philosophers, and I have to admit I was a Yankees fan growing up because that was the only team I could get on the radio, once said, when you come to a fork in the road, take one. What he meant by this was that we should have a bias for action. And it may not matter which path you take. Don't just stand there. Do something. Well, Yogi, I hate to tell you this, but the Apostle Paul says that it does matter which path we take. And I believe it does too. We can follow the path led by the Spirit, or we can follow the path of selfishness and ego. And the lure of selfishness and ego is strong. Paul intimates this, that we are wired this way from the beginning, from birth. All of us at some time have been seeds on the path, or on rocky ground, or in the thorns on our journey through life. So we know what it's like to be in each of those places. And you would still be there if it were not for the love of God. God placed someone in your life that influenced you to be here today. Through that person or persons, you experience God's love. I know that's true for me, and I suspect it's true for you. Many of the people that cannot hear God's word, those that are on the path where the seed never gets a chance to germinate, respond to the word in the absence of love. They respond from the mind, not from the heart. They have chosen to see the world as revolving around them. Their ego gets in the way. But for those that have some faith, however little it may be, reality is, how can I do both? How can I live in both worlds? You see, as we go through life, we're flawed human beings, and we will not always follow the path of the Spirit-led life. Looking back, I know this is true for me. Our challenge is to constantly pursue a Spirit-led life, but we don't always achieve it. Paul acknowledges this in his letter to the Romans, and it's still true today. But then this reading is not about us and where we are. It's about us as sowers of seeds. It's important that we understand where other people are in their journey, as they will respond differently, ranging from outright rejection to full embrace. In our churches, we associate with those that are in good soil most of the time. And sometimes they might find themselves in the thorns, but for the most part, they're in good soil. They respond mostly from the heart, with God's love, and sometimes from the mind. I dare say that those of you listening today have experienced God's love in your life and respond to others with God's love. Yet the world today is made up of mostly those people who have no faith or an immature faith, shallow faith, with no root system. They are folks on the path and in the rocky ground. It's unlikely that they have experienced God's love as you and I have. Our job as disciples of the gospel, as sowers of seeds, is to continue to reach out to them where they are. If they have not experienced God's love, it is our job to create opportunities for this to happen. And when they finally do experience God's love, we can help them grow by giving them more opportunities along the way and hopefully reach the good soil and become sowers of seeds. Along the way, they will experience the rocky roads and those filled with thorns. For Jesus said, the evil one will come along and try to snatch away what is in the heart. I think I have attempted to lead a Spirit-led life personally, and yet my reality is that sometimes I do, and sometimes I fall short of the ideal. My challenge, and I dare say your challenge, is to be the best you can be right where you are. We're not failures in the eyes of God if we fall short of the ideal Spirit-led life. Remember, God loves you unconditionally, just as he loves everyone unconditionally. God created us as flawed individuals, so the best we can hope to achieve is to love God and love our neighbors in our own way, in the way we were created by God. There are times when we will be led by the Spirit and we will reach out to others in love. We'll reach out from our hearts. And there will be times when we respond with our heads and sometimes with selfishness and sometimes with our ego getting in the way. This, my friends, is reality. However, by loving God and loving our neighbor, even those in the thorns and on rocky ground and on the path, by loving our neighbors, our focus shifts from ourselves to others from our heart. And in that moment, we become an extension of God's love in the world. In reality, we become God's love in the world. In his holy name, amen.